It's Here and Now. I'm Jeremy Hobson, broadcasting today from the Old Faithful Inn at Yellowstone National Park. The Park Service is celebrating its 100th birthday this week. And one thing a lot of people are eager to see when they make a trip to the country's first national park is the grizzly bear. Just be careful you don't get too close. And a warning, we'll hear from an attack victim, and it may be disturbing to some. Here's Here and Now's Peter O'Dowd.
Sometimes a date has a way of staying with you.
3 years ago, June 20th, 2013.
It was a beautiful morning on Nick Patrick's family ranch about 40 miles outside of Yellowstone.
So I run a few cattle and horses and go a little hay and just repair everything that is fallen down.
Out on the South Fork of the Shoshone River, Patrick has a view of 10,000-foot peaks. Dense thickets of willows and cottonwoods stand tall on his land.
If you went up this road to the end of it and then got on a horse, you could ride over into Jackson.
Some might call this God's country, but on that day in June, 3 years ago, it was also grizzly country. Patrick was working down near the trees, irrigating his crops.
Which I've done for 50 years. And as I was doing that, I heard my little dog, who's usually by my side, just screaming, entangled up with something. And I'd been in some epic raccoon dog battles in that same spot. So like a fool, I rushed around the corner and yelled, "Hey," and immediately saw that 25 feet away from me was a sow grizzly with two little bitty cubs. And she just looked at me, said, "You're next," and she was on me within 3 or 4 seconds.
I was going to ask what was going through your mind when you saw the sow 25 feet from you, but I wonder if you even had time to think.
Yeah, I had an irrigating shovel. I had time to cock that and slam her in the head with that as she came in, but it didn't do any good. And actually, it kind of left me exposed because I didn't have my hands up because of the swing. And so the first thing she did was reach up and bite me in the face. And then then it was just a melee from there. And it's kind of like other prey animals. You kind of go into a suspended ant. You don't really feel any pain. You can feel pressure. But she at one point grabbed me by my left knee and drugged me about 20 feet and bit me through the hand. And then she finally decided she'd taught me a lesson, and she took off. Unfortunately, she took off in the wrong direction where her cubs were. I could hear her coming back down the hill and grunting. And she tied into me again.
It's almost impossible to imagine, but Patrick says if you want to know what it's like to be rendered powerless by a 600-pound grizzly, there is a way to do it. Watch a 2015 film called The Revenant, and this haunting scene when a frontiersman played by Leonardo DiCaprio is walking through the woods and then suddenly is in the jaws of a massive mother bear.
That's exactly what it was like.
At that point, like when you got after the second time, did you think that you had survived it? Or, I mean, did you feel like you were still in major trouble physically?
Oh, the second time she came back, I had that feeling that, if this is what you're here for, get it over with. Because I've had it. I've had all of this I want.
The bear didn't want to kill Patrick because, of course, she could have. She bit through his hand and through his knee and left an open wound across his face. He wears a prosthesis today where his nose used to be. It's a shocking story and a rare one. Kerry Gunther says you're as likely to be killed by lightning.
Well, we average over 4 million visits a year, and we average one bear attack per year. So the odds overall are pretty low.
Gunther is Yellowstone's bear biologist, and we met outside his office in front of the towering Mount Everts. Gunther can put Patrick's attack in perspective because he's been tracking grizzlies around here for more than 3 decades.
When I first started working in Yellowstone Park, it was pretty rare to see a grizzly bear. So if you saw a dozen bears in a summer, you considered that a pretty good bear year. Today, you can easily see a dozen bears in one morning.
So were there like a handful of them 30 years ago, and now how many? Do you have any estimates of how many there are?
Well, there's possibly as few as 136 in 1975, and now we believe there's well over 700.
That's because the federal government listed the grizzly as a threatened species in 1975. And ever since then, it's protected the bear from hunters and ranchers who took matters into their own hands when grizzlies devoured their livestock. But with their numbers rebounding, there's talk of delisting the bears.
Is this something that you think about more often now because there are so many more grizzly bears in the park, because the recovery has been so good? Are you thinking more about the interactions with humans?
Yes, we're working on our safety messaging because there's a lot more bears and visitation keeps increasing, so there's a lot more people. So we're having more encounters, and we're trying to get better at teaching people how to avoid having surprise encounters in the first place and then how to react if they do have a surprise encounter.
So here's a crash course, Grizzly 101, by Yellowstone professor Carrie Gunther.
One of the easiest things to do is find at least two friends to hike with. We almost never get anyone attacked that's hiking in a group of three or more. Bears respect things that are bigger than they are and that outnumber them.
Really, two is not enough.
Two is not enough. Two is better than one, but three is better than two. Now, if you do have a surprise encounter, initially what we recommend is slowly backing away, because a lot of times that'll diffuse the situation, shows the bear that you're really not a threat to those cubs. But if the bear charges, you want to stop and stand your ground. Just by standing your ground, most of the time the bear's going to veer off if it charges or stop short. Standing your ground is important.
Okay, Carrie, but I want to interrupt you there, because the thought of standing your ground when a grizzly bear, you know, several hundred pound animal, is charging at you, every fiber of your being is going to be telling you to run the other direction, and you say you've just got to put your shoes in the ground and stay put.
Yes. And, you know, when I first started working here over 30 years ago, that was a pretty tough thing to do. It took a lot of courage. Now, today there's a product, bear spray, that's over 90% effective at stopping aggressive behavior in bears. And one of the big things with bear spray, it gives people the courage to stand their ground. Carrying bear spray is a real important thing anytime you're hiking, fishing, any kind of recreation in bear country.
And I see you've got some bear spray in a holster on your hip right there.
If it's in your pack, again, a bear is going to be charging at about 44 feet per second. You don't have time to take a pack off and get bear spray out of a pocket. So you want to have it on a holster, either on your chest or on your hip, where you can get to it immediately.
What is it? It's just like pepper spray for bears?
It's a hot pepper spray for bears. It comes out in a really fine mist, so it gets into their eyes. They breathe it in, fills the lungs. The same type of product used by law enforcement, but it's hotter concentration, and it comes out in a big cloud, so you don't have to even be a good aim to use it. You just have to get it out, get the safety tab off, and press the trigger.
You got to do all that while your hands are shaking and while you've got a bear charging right down at you.
That's right. And so you want to practice ahead of time so that when the bear charges, it's instinctual that you know exactly what to do.
Okay, well, should we practice?
Let's practice.
Okay.
Yeah, let's see which way the wind's going here. This way. So I take the top of the holster off. You want to aim slightly downward. The bear, again, is coming in at about 44 feet per second. If you aim too high, it could run right underneath before that bear spray can settle down. So I aim just slightly downward, press the trigger.
Whoa.
And the bear just has to run through it. And as the bear's running through it, you just keep spraying right into the bear's face.
Okay, so the spray really gets like what? I'm taking one, two, three steps here, and it seems... Fit in.
And it's still out there. It's expanding as it goes out, so it's harder to see, but it's drifting out there about 30 feet.
By the way, that bear spray was just for practice. It wasn't the real thing. So even if it did get caught in my lungs, it wasn't nearly as bad as it could have been. So note to self, don't walk into the cloud of bear spray after you pull the trigger. Anyway, Nick Patrick, the rancher who was mauled outside the park, says bear spray might have helped him if he had it, but he didn't. He says it was his fault for being unprepared, and for sure, he does not blame the animal.
I knew the bears around here. I've been an advocate for the grizzlies for, you know, over 40 years. All she was doing is what any good mother would have done. She was just taking on the next comer because she had an agenda, and that was keeping her baby safe. That's her job. Grizzlies define wildness. And if we can have that, that in our ecosystem, if we can support grizzlies and they can live here and thrive here, then we're doing something right. We're keeping this country in good shape.
And that's pretty big of a man who knows what it's like to feel incredibly small in this wild country. For Here and Now, I'm Peter O'Dowd in Yellowstone National Park.